Hi, everybody. Martin Zender, Saturday Insider. I'm risking the great outdoors here, risking the various sounds and intrusions, dogs, planes, trains, and automobiles. Let's see how it goes. I want to talk to you today about an important topic. It's important to me anyway. It should be important to anyone who loves God, and that is the remnant of Israel. This is a topic that has come up in discussion lately because, as you know, Alan Hess's videos, he's wrestling where to draw the line of where the circumcision gospel stopped being announced and when Paul's evangel was the only evangel. Well, I say to you that there is no line when the circumcision gospel stopped being announced. It is still being announced. It is still a viable gospel. And I'm going to prove this to you tonight in Romans chapter 11. Now, someone said something very complimentary to me that after one of my videos last week, that Martin, not only are you protecting Paul's gospel, but you're protecting Peter's gospel. Yes, I do find myself in that position. It's very strange. In the first century, Peter begged the Jews to understand that Paul had a distinct message. Peter recognized that Paul was to go to the nations with the evangel of the uncircumcision. And so, because of Peter, Paul got a foothold. Peter was like his guarantor that he wouldn't be killed. Peter was, I think, begging the circumcision, don't kill this guy. He really is legit. Even though it's not our message, Paul is legit. I find myself in the position today of defending Peter's gospel, the circumcision gospel. And in fact, Paul in Romans chapter 11 is doing the same exact thing. I have to protect that evangel because the tendency and the trend today is that, well, the gospel of circumcision's done until, I mean, some people think it's done completely, which of course is absurd. The preterists think that it's done completely. They call themselves preterists. I don't know why. I'm not into those fancy theological terms. Preterist is somebody who thinks that God's promises, literal promises to Israel found in the circumcision gospel, the promises God made to Abraham, that Jesus Christ came on earth as an Israelite to confirm, and that Jesus Christ passed to Peter, that message about Israel being the head of the nations and all the nations of the ground being blessed through the priesthood mediation of Israel, they think that's all gone. They think it's disappeared. They think that the message to Israel is now being spiritually fulfilled in the body of Christ, in another people. Well, this is nonsense. This is not believing God. There are very plain passages in Scripture that talks about God putting the law on the hearts of Israel and Israel rising to the occasion, her sins being removed, coming into Jerusalem, running a political kingdom from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. It's true as ever. Okay, so those people don't even count because they're not in the ballpark. Folks, they're not even in the parking lot of the ballpark, okay? They're not even in the same zip code. Not even worth talking about. And yet, I have spent 3 minutes talking about it. Let's talk now about the people who admit that the circumcision gospel is legitimate. Of course it's a real gospel. Of course God's not going to forsake his promises to Israel. And they say that it's not going to happen until the body of Christ is snatched away, which is true. That is true. I agree with that. It's not going to happen. It's not going to come, the kingdom, until the body of Christ is snatched away. However, here's where the fine point comes in the fine print, and I'm an expert at this area. I love the remnant. I've been studying it for 30 years. I consider myself an expert on it. Is that, and this is what Alan has been wrestling with on his videos. When did the circumcision gospel cease being announced? You see, because now people believe, I don't believe this, and I'll tell you why Paul doesn't believe it either, that if anybody believes today, they're automatically in the body of Christ. Well, anybody who believes, no matter if they love Israel, no matter if they don't get Paul, they hate Paul, they don't understand Paul, but they just love Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James. Oh, James. They have a love affair with James. Well, you're just stupid Paul people. You guys are all in the body of Christ. And I have said for years, why are we taking away their evangel? This is what I mean by me protecting today, protecting Peter's evangel. These letters are still in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, James, Hebrews, they're still in the Bible. Why are they still there? Why didn't, when Paul come, these pages were just supernaturally ripped out from everyone's Bible? Why? Because people can still believe it. Who believes it, Martin? Who? Well, Jews, naturally. But Jews can also jump ship to join Paul in the body of Christ. Paul did. He was a Jew, right? He became the first member of the body of Christ. To do that, he forsook his national identity, because in the body of Christ, Jews and Greeks are joined equally. They're joined. They're a co-unit. And maybe just drop the co. They're just a unit. And the Jew has no preeminence in the body of Christ. That was a huge revelation. The Jew does have preeminence in the circumcision gospel. So a Jew like Paul could embrace a new message. And the practical result of doing that is, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Everything that Paul said that I once considered gain to me, that I was the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, now I consider that loss. Peter, however, was also a Jew, was he not? Yes, he was. Did he jump the ship of Israel to join the body of Christ? No, he did not. No, there were tens of thousands of Jews, Acts 21, who were believers in Jesus Christ, so-called completed Jews, and yet they were zealous for the law of Moses. And there was a gray area in the first century where the temple was destroyed eventually. Well, I believe that when the temple veil was rent at the death of Christ, there was no more legitimate temple worship. That was done. That was done. And so these Jews then were left in a precarious position. They saw their temple taken away. They saw their gospel put on hold. That is the fulfillment of it. The fulfillment put on hold. The fulfillment. And they saw God doing a new thing among the nations that they weren't interested in. They didn't want to participate in it. And it was all they could do to accept its existence on the planet. So there are some Jews who, like Barnabas, he was a Jew, wasn't he? Mark, I believe he was a Jew. They heard Paul's gospel and they jumped ship. They went for it. Other Jews did not. Did not. So an Israelite today, as we live today, an Israelite, of course, can accept Paul's gospel if God has designated him or her beforehand. But an Israelite can also grasp onto the circumcision gospel. It's a gospel in waiting. I'm gonna get to that. Now, a member of the nations, a non-Israelite, can also grasp onto the circumcision gospel. Why would they do that? Yeah, I know it seems crazy. Why would you want to voluntarily come under an evangel where you could be ashamed in God's presence, as we discussed on my show, MZTV? Why would you grasp onto an evangel that requires faith and works, requires works? Why would you do that? Because it's in you. Because you're predisposed to it, because God has separated you for that. The example I always give is the antenna. Some people have an antenna for it. Now, when a non-Israelite joins the Jewish faith, the circumcision gospel, that's called a proselyte. It's a proselyte of Judaism. There is such a thing. And if there was such a thing in the first century, then there's such a thing now. Examples in the scriptures are Cornelius, who was a man of the nations who came under Israel's gospel. Peter talked to him in the book of Acts. There was the Ethiopian eunuch. I believe he was a black dude. And being from Ethiopia, I'm just guessing. And yet he came under the circumcision gospel because he wanted to. There were lots of people like this. There was a whole nation back in the Old Testament who came. Who was that? Who were those people that tried to trick the Israelites when they came out of Egypt? Israel came out of Egypt. They didn't want to be destroyed. Anyway, I'll put the note here. I can't think of the nation right now, but they became servants of Israel. Nations will always be second-class citizens of Israel as long as we're talking about earth. So Alan Hess has been wrestling about this. In his first video, he drew the line at the death and resurrection of Christ. After that, then it's all Paul, all the time. Israel gospel is on hold. Nobody can believe it anymore. Anybody who believes from that time forward is a member of the body of Christ, whether they like it or not. No. Then Alan changed it on his second video and said, well, now the line is the calling of Paul, which is only 1 year difference. I don't know what big difference that makes. I'm not sure where he stands on that now because we haven't gotten clarification. But here's a clarification for you in Romans chapter 11. That line is not to be drawn. It's not to be drawn. Because Paul says that in the current era, there is a remnant of circumcision believers. It's according to the choice of grace. But Paul puts forward this remnant, this small believing core of circumcision believers, as proof that God has not thrust away his people. Now I'm going to go to Romans. I probably talked about this before with you at various times, and but I want to get it in a nutshell here. And it's always good to hear this again because it's coming up. It's always coming up. Now I find myself fighting for Peter's gospel. I'm fighting for it. I'm fighting to protect those who are drawn toward the circumcision gospel. I say, in many cases, they're legitimately drawn to it. We would look down on them. We would call them stupid. We would call them idiots. Why aren't you listening to Paul? Paul's just the only gospel. Two gospels still in the Bible, and there's a remnant according to the choice of grace. Now the big question, and we're introducing Romans chapter 11 here, the big question in Paul's day was, has God thrust away his people? Now see, Paul, I have the same zeal Paul has to say that to protect the circumcision evangel. I mean, obviously, I'm protecting Paul's gospel. Okay, that should be a given. I've been doing that for 25 years, 30 really. Protecting Paul's gospel, maintaining the walls of it, maintaining the character of it. You know that. You know that I'm solid on that. I don't let anything come in there to dilute it, to pervert it. But at the same time, I am also have this zealousness of Paul because Paul's dealing this with the same issue. This is amazing because this is first century drama come to our present day. Paul's dealing with the same issue. God has thrust away his people. But today the issue is God has thrust away the circumcision gospel. He's thrust it away. It's not applicable. It's dead until the body of Christ is snatched away. See, that maybe that's a good way to put it. Alan and others, not just Alan, I'm not picking on him here, they say that circumcision gospel today is dead. You might as well rip circumcision epistles out of your Bible. They're dead. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not dead. They're breathing, but they're dormant. That might be a good way to put it. They're dormant. The circumcision is not the active evangel. I know people get confused when I say that. I don't blame you. I've used terms like the circumcision is not the active evangel. I've called it an evangel on hold. I've called it on the back burner. But even a pot on the back burner is what? It's bubbling. A hibernating bear is breathing. But we're being told that it's dead, but it's going to be raised from the dead. At least these people, like Alan, are saying it is going to be raised from the dead after the body of Christ snatched away. But they think it's dead now, and it's impossible to believe. And I beg to differ. Paul begs to differ. He's fighting for that. Like I'm fighting for it today, Paul's fighting for it. Because back then, when Paul's gospel took hold, and the nations were getting all kinds of blessing, the first thing that the Romans thought, they would think that, okay, well, God's thrust away his people. And Israel itself might have thought that. It's like you see a football team suddenly doing really well, and they're just like flying high, and they're winning everything, and they're going to the Super Bowl, and everybody else, like, so what are we? Nothing? Are we supposed to pack up and go home and not play anymore? No, these other teams still exist. They're still in the NFL. They're just not winning. They all stink. So the thought was in this day with Paul flying high that, well, God is done with Israel. God is finished with Israel. And Paul couldn't stand hearing this. And I can't stand hearing that the circumcision gospel can't be believed today. That it's not a pot on the back burner still boiling. No, it's a dead pot. It's been dried up. Oh, no. Otherwise, think about this. Otherwise, the 144,000 that I believe are alive now, they would have to start from scratch. That there's no legitimate circumcision believer today, not a remnant, not 144,000, not anybody, that after the snatching away of the body of Christ, if this is true, if it's true that the announcement and the validity of the circumcision gospel died sometime in the past, either at the death of Christ or at the call of Paul, or sometimes during the lifetime of Paul, if it died during that time, then nobody can believe it today. And again, I keep saying this, I know it sounds rude, but anybody who's believing it today is just stupid and they're ignorant. It's dead and gone. But that was what they were thinking in the first century. Even the Jews probably had to wonder, are we done for? Like, Paul couldn't stand this. Could not stand it. So Paul asked this question in Romans chapter 11, verse 1. I am saying, does not God thrust away his people? Comes right to the point. I love it when Paul does this. Does not God thrust away his people? He says, may it not be coming to that. For I also am an Israelite of Abraham's seed, Benjamin's tribe. The reason Paul is saying this is because he's not putting himself up as proof that God has not thrust away his people. And this is the problem I have with those who would make this remnant body of Christ people. This makes no sense at all. And a lot of people do this. They say, well, there's a remnant, Paul says, according to the choice of grace. And Alan said this in his video, well, that means that the only chance that an Israelite has to be viable now is to grasp onto Paul's gospel. That's the only chance they have. The bear's not hibernating, it's dead. The pot is not boiling, it's dried and done. I reject that because Paul is putting forth this remnant as proof that God has not thrust away his people. It's getting so dark, it's hard to read my Bible. I might just have to talk to you the rest of this video, and then next week I want to go through this verse by verse, and then the week after that on the Saturday special here, I have to talk to you about Hebrews. I just went through the whole book of Hebrews again about an hour ago, and I had a yellow marker. The reason I did that is because people have been asking me, well, if there's a remnant today of the circumcision gospel, what are they supposed to be doing? Where are they? I can tell you where they are. I've spoken to them. I know some of them. And what are they supposed to be doing? Are they supposed to be attempting law? Are they supposed to be going to the synagogue? No, they're not supposed to be attempting law. They're not supposed to be going to the synagogue. In fact, I will answer this question two Saturdays from now because I'll answer it with scripture, not theory, not hypotheses, not Zender, scripture. I highlighted everything in the book of Hebrews, which is written to these poor Jews who had the kingdom pulled out from under them. I highlighted everything that they're supposed to be doing. Every verb, almost every verb, all the exhortations that they're supposed to be doing. And doing law is not anywhere in the mix. And there's a reason for that. And I will tell you that two Saturdays from now. Today is just an overview. I was planning on getting to the actual scriptures, Romans 11. There are bugs eating my feet right now. I'm getting chewed up. And I'm starting to get a little agitated about it. I should have sprayed myself with some bug spray before I came out here. And I don't have a light out here, and I didn't think it would get dark this quick. I'm going to go through with you, verse by verse, Romans chapter 11. One of my favorite chapters. The remnant, one of my favorite topics, because I am zealous for the people of Israel. I am zealous for God to finally bring these people to their expectation. I am zealous for Israel to come into the promises, and I'm zealous to keep Israel's gospel in the Bible. When I say that we're the, I've also said this, that the body of Christ is the active evangel. Like we're, the only thing we're waiting for is to be changed and glorified and taken to our celestial home. Remember, the shows are always telling you that Israel's always one step removed from what we have. It's like they're just kind of waiting for stuff. They have an extra step. When they see him, then they'll be like him. Whereas with us, when Christ shows up, we're manifested with him. Well, there's an extra step here too. We're actively, we have these blessings now. I'm not saying Israel doesn't. It's a very fine point. It's a very fine point. I'm not doing a good job explaining it. We are, oh, here it is. Yes, the verse where the consummations of the eons have attained to us. That's it. The consummations of the eons have attained to us. We have all these blessings now. Justification, conciliation, peace. Israel is a gospel in waiting. Israel doesn't have all that stuff yet. That's why I call it a gospel in waiting. That's why I call it an evangel on hold. That's why I call it a pot boiling on the back burner. We're on the front burner now in that the consummations of the eons, that is everything God is working toward at the end of all the great eons, eons 4 and 5, have come to us now. So it's like we're in it. The only thing we're waiting for again is our transformation, to be taken to our home, to be filled with the Spirit. They're waiting for all kinds of stuff. They're waiting. Yeah, they can't be like him. We're now mirroring the Lord's glory face to face. They can't be like him until they see him as he is. So Paul is offering the remnant here through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's doing this through Paul. The remnant is proof that God has not thrust away his people. If the remnant is a bunch of Jews who jumped ship to join the body of Christ, how is that proof that God has not thrust away his people? That would be proof that God has thrust away his people. I have proof that God is still maintaining his promises to the covenant people, to the people of Abraham. Okay, what's your proof? Well, here's a bunch of people who have completely forsaken the covenant and joined the body of Christ. That's ridiculous. That would be the case if this was a uncircumcision remnant, if the remnant was uncircumcision. Here's another thing. Paul says that there is a remnant in the current era. In the current era, there's a remnant of Israelite believing circumcision saints. And the current era is now. We're still in the current era. The only time that people would question whether God had cast away his people is if the body of Christ is in the forefront, is if we're the nations other than Israel are still flying high. And we are. You see, the nations, those are the body of Christ. We're still flying high. We're still flying high. So anytime the nations are on the forefront and Israel's still in waiting, the argument could be made God has thrust away his people. See, this question didn't just come up in Paul's day. It comes up today because the situation hasn't changed. We're still in the era of the nations. We're still, that's it. We're still in the era of the Gentiles, era of the nations, the era of grace. So it's a legit question. If the presence of the body of Christ on the earth requires a proof that God has not forsaken his people, and therefore it requires a remnant. It requires, now the nation as a whole is apostate. They don't even believe in their own savior. They're spiritual morons. But Paul says, yes, the nation is apostate, except for he says callousness in part on Israel has come. In part, that in part allows for the remnant. And again, if that remnant is a bunch of people leaving the circumcision gospel to join Paul, how the hell is that evidence that God has not thrust away his people? So there is, in the current era, a remnant according to the choice of grace. People get thrown off by that. Ooh, I see the word grace. Must be the body of Christ. No, it's the grace of God that a remnant exists, you see. It's the grace of God that a remnant even exists. So next Saturday, I'm going to go through the scriptures here. I gave you an overview. This was an overview. This was an aerial view. Tomorrow, next Saturday, I'm going to land the plane. We're going to get out of the plane. We're going to walk on the tarmac. We're going to get our noses on the asphalt, smell it. We're going to go into the airport, maybe order a sandwich, maybe order a banana, maybe get a cup of coffee. And you and me, we got a lot of things to talk about.